Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to Brew with the Bennetts, which is now available on Patreon. Would you like an extra episode every week available to you on a Tuesday and also early access to the normal episode?
Keep going.
The normal episode, which comes out on a Sunday, you can access that on a Friday. This is all for the bargain price of £2 per month. If you would like to do this, then sign up now. Yes, sign up now. Sign up today. Welcome to the Brew Crew.
My coffee looks weird.
Well, there's not much milk, is there? Mm. Not very nice.
It's fine. Yeah. It's definitely decaf.
Definitely decaf.
Okay.
I mean, you don't need full... It's not full bar.
Yeah.
Mine's full bar.
Okay.
We've started, by the way.
Okay.
Tune in, it's Sunday morning. Sit back, relax, we'll talk it through. Brew with the Bennetts and you.
Good morning, good morning. We'll see the whole day through. Good morning to you. Hello, welcome to BWTB Pod. This is a podcast designed for people who want to listen to something. Yes, quite simply. We talk into your ear rolls. Good morning. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Gemma. And that is a spectacularly
vibrant
top. It looks like you do look a bit like a court jester.
Well, I was just saying, my mate said
actually,
to me this
do you know what you look like?
Go on.
You look like a walking migraine.
Oh. My friend said I look like I'm wearing a flag.
If I can just describe it, it's just heavily striped, brightly coloured. Gemma looks, you do look like you've been, I don't know, you sort of like you've come, you look like you've been fired straight from a carnival.
Yeah.
You feel, you look like a ringmaster who's lost his animals.
All I'm going to say is primary colours, my friend, red.
Mm. Actually, yes.
Yellow.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
And blue.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You know, what? At school, when you were at primary school and you used to get those like pot things that you'd have, like they'd put the brush in, they had the plastic thing on the top. And they were all like the major colours,
yeah,
the red, blue,
yeah,
the
red,
white, the
blues.
Black.
Oh, I've got a funny pain here.
And that's the school memory in your spleen.
Sorry.
It's because that jumper's so loud, it's actually having an effect on your internal organs. Would you remember, it reminds me of that. It reminds me of that sort of, it takes me back to those.
I think basically, last night, because I had to get into bed with Sophia, I've concertinaed my body. So I've got a frozen shoulder this morning and some sort of rib action going on.
Do you know
now?
What's really interesting then? You've concertinaed your body and you've got a frozen shoulder. Mm. Effectively, you're turning into a musical.
A musical?
You're like a walking West End because there's a Tina Turner musical at the moment and there's also Frozen the musical. And it was an attempt at a joke that clearly hasn't worked.
No,
Oh.
That was awful.
I've been writing for stuff all week and
that was awful.
My brain
You want to try writing for yourself, love?
That was shit, wasn't it? That
was awful.
Yeah. But yeah, you look, where's it from, that jumper?
It's from Next. But not, as you know, I don't like to pay for out full price. So it was Next Clearance and it was about £8, reduced from 26 or thereabouts.
It's very nice. And also,
I don't ever pay full price, people.
Before we started this podcast, Gemma saved a bee.
I did. I says to Scott.
It was weird, wasn't it?
I came in from Coffee Club and he got everything set up for podcast. And I says, there's a massive fat bee on the floor. And he went, no, there isn't. It's a hair clip.
It does. Do you know, from a distance, can I just tell you?
I said, you need to go to Specsavers because it's not. It's a bee, a fat bumblebee.
It was.
Massive. He'd obviously got lost.
Was he low on sugar? Did you
no,
give him some sugar?
I think he'd come in because of the rain.
It's pissing down. And, I think he came in on Bob's back.
Maybe.
I think he hitched a lift on a cat's
back. Or maybe
back.
Bob brought him in. I don't know. But he was still alive.
Come on, get in there, mate.
But it was massive. And you thought it was a hair clip. You could have kicked it or stood on it.
I was going to pick it up.
You're going to just pick it
up? Just pick it up with my fingers. Do you know what? Do you know what it reminds me of, though? Mm. Is I have distinct memories now. Mm. You know when inanimate objects look like insects?
Yeah.
It's one of the most terrifying things in the world. I remember sleeping over at my mate's house. And they... I'll tell you what it was. It wasn't his house. This is how weird it is in Yorkshire. What are you laughing
at? I just thought it was something funny. Carry on.
You know, it's when you... go on. I'll tell you in a minute.
Just carry on.
You know, this is how weird it is when you're sort of a kid growing up in Yorkshire, when they go, for this weekend, would you like to go with your mate James to his granddad's and stay at his granddad's?
That's the most exciting thing in
and
the world.
And you go, yeah?
Yeah.
But that's mental.
No, I remember going to my mate's grandma's. It was amazing.
Well, you've got no connection to that person's grandparents at all.
No.
But then you go, well, I'll just go.
And do you notice how our parents just went, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know him, just go.
Who's that? A granddad? Have we met him? No, do you want to just, where are you sleeping? Who cares? Go.
Yeah, just go.
And I remember going, getting an action man and watching A-Team. That's all the only memory I have. I do have a memory, though, of it when you're in a weird room you've never been in.
Yeah.
And I was trying to sleep in the room.
Yeah.
And there was like a weird coat hook, sort of picture hook.
Yeah.
That when the shadow cascaded on it, looked exactly like a spider. And I could not shake it.
I hate coat hook spiders.
And as I've been dropping off, I'd be like, that's a coat hook, that's a coat. It's a spider!
Yeah.
The coat hook. Like, this is a spider!
A coat hook spider shadow is really scary.
I was just stuck in the weird granddad, don't know who he is. Spider! Spider!
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you picked up that bee then, took me right back.
Well, I used to go to my mate's grandma's and it was so exciting. I probably only went three times, but it was always so exciting. And she said, do you want to come and stay at my grandma's house? So we'd go and have a stay over and we'd always play her at Monopoly. She would always, always beat us. She would never let us win. Would thrash us every single time.
That's an out-of-season game for Christmas as well. That's like going
rogue. It was Christmas.
I know, but to do Monopoly outside of Christmas is quite unusual.
No, it isn't. What? Oh, absolute tosh are you talking?
Oh, well, I mean...
You're saying you can only play Monopoly at Christmas?
I said...
That's ridiculous.
When I was a kid, we didn't really play board games out of season.
What do you mean out of season?
Well, sort of around the time when you've got Christmas time, that's when they come out, innit?
No, that's nonsense.
Well, I do remember...
Right, let's put it to a poll.
We went through a Scrabble phase with red wine.
Oh, we love Scrabble. We play Scrabble any time of the year. That was nearly every Sunday.
Yeah, before the kids.
That was before kids. All I was going to say to you was, going back to what I was laughing at and tittering, can you imagine if you went to Vision Express and the eye test was they take you into a living room, right?
Yeah.
And instead of those little letters, there's like a big fat bumblebee, but at three meters, they say, what's that on the carpet? And you'd be like, it's a hair clip. And they'd be like, you need glasses.
Come on, mate, you're blind as fuck. Come on.
What's that on the wall? It's a spider. Nah. Coat hook shadow.
Mr. Bennett, it says here that your field of vision is shit and you failed at the coat hook shadow. So we've actually...
You failed at the trickery insect challenge. So,
What's this, Mr. Bennett?
Yeah.
That looks like a testicle poking out of a fly. Yeah, that's what it is, actually. Your eyesight's not...
What's this just on the corner of the window? I'm going to go for an out-of-season daddy long legs. You are absolutely correct. You don't need glasses.
There's a lot of that, isn't there? There's a lot of sort of mistaken stuff.
Mistaken identity.
What's that on? Oh, no, that'll be the classic, won't it? In the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Mr. Bennett, what's that?
Mm.
That looks like a quid, that.
Yeah.
Go over to it.
Yeah.
Lid of a party popper.
Yeah. Yeah, or
You think it's a fiver and it's actually a bottle wrapper that's just come off, crumpled up. Or
what's the other mistake? Mistaken identity.
Yes, mistaken identity.
It literally is.
What?
Mistaken identity.
Oh, yes. I love it.
It needs a high five.
It didn't warrant a high five, but I've done it now. But also, can you imagine insects being interviewed like on an insect chat show?
Go Attenborough.
And there's this they're interviewing a daddy long legs who's lost a leg. And they're like, what happened? And he's like, well, I was sat on a window ledge and this guy came up and tried to squish me because he thought I was a spider, but he needs glasses. So I lost a leg, but it's all right. He's been to Specsavers now. And
I was shouting, bifocal, bifocal, as he was squeezing me.
What happened to you, Bumblebee? Well, this tosser thought I was an hair clip.
Stuck me in his daughter's hair, sent her off to school. Hey, can I just tell you?
Yeah.
That's just brought memories back, that. When I was like 15 and hormones raging through my body, I remember going for an eye test at Boots in Wakefield.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, right, you come through. And the woman was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh.
The woman doing the eye test.
I didn't think you were going to say that.
It was one of the most stressful moments. Because I'm 15, it's the closest I've ever been to a woman other than my mum.
Yeah.
And she was too, you know, when they go in close.
Were you happy to see
her? No, well, the problem was she went in so close. Mm. You know, when they go really close.
Yeah, did you kiss her?
And you nearly go. It's like
did you lick her?
Your first reaction is go.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've never had, no one's ever shown me this amount of attention. Is it better now? Is it better now? It's always better. It's better when you're closer. Yeah. It's weird because I could smell her perfume and everything.
Wow.
It was like a lap dance with
this
those.
This is
sort
amazing.
Of, with those, with, you know, can you see the, I can't see anything, mate.
So you had an optometrist crush.
It's just like, when she sort of went, can you read the bottom line? S.
Yeah.
E. X.
Oh,
can you read the top
God's
line?
Sake.
S.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Ben, I think but the problem is that when you're a kid, any proximity is a problem.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
I haven't got a very disconcerting penis at that age.
No.
You just go, oh, we're up. Let's have a look around.
Yeah.
It's literally right. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? It's just a breeze. Get back down, you pervert.
Yeah. Just laughed out loud thinking about this morning.
What?
Right, Sophia came in, right? She'd just got up. She came into the kitchen, stroke diner, whatever. And
stroke diner?
Whatever. And she,
where do you think we
she
are?
Did
a, deep
a massive trump, right? I absolutely died laughing. It was so big. Well, then she did another one. Right. Massive.
What's going on in her
huge
body?
Then we were both dying with laughter. And then she squeezed a little one out. It went... like that. That just finished me off.
I could hear you cackling.
Then she said to me, she said, I nearly lifted my leg up with that one. And then as she was leaving, she lifted her leg up and did one with her leg lifting up. You know, like on Vic and Bob where they...
Yeah. How come...
It was so funny.
How come she's got so much wind?
So much gas.
Why?
It was just brilliant.
What's she doing at night? Are you pumping her legs like the bellows?
No, but do you know what? It's never not funny.
No.
It's never not funny.
I mean,
it was so... I couldn't get my breath.
Stuart Lee famously said that.
Yeah.
He said, you can write as many jokes as you want, but will it be as funny as gas coming out of an arsehole?
Never.
No, never.
Never.
You can stop trying.
100%.
Well, speaking of Sophia, actually, I've got a few notes on her for today. First thing is... Face scratch.
Okay.
So I she came in from a party the other day.
No, it was we come back from the memorial.
Oh yeah,
remembrance
and
parade.
She had a scratch. She got a scratch.
She looked like she'd been in a fight.
She looked like she'd been in a knife fight. She looked like she'd been done.
She looked like an East End gangster.
Yeah, because she's got a tooth missing as well.
Yeah.
And she was like, "All right, Dad."
Yeah.
It's like she's like fire straight from Oliver Twist. All right, mate.
Sophia Cray.
I was like, what's up with your face?
Yeah.
And what happened? What did you
So do? Basically I'd got a poppy pinned onto my lapel and she wanted a cuddle when we were at the parade. So I leant down to cuddle her and scratched her face with the pin. It went Dana cheated. She went, ow! And she went, you just knocked me with your pin. And I was like, oh, God. I said, I'm so sorry.
And because that age,
and it looked awful.
The skin's so soft.
Yeah, right down her cheek.
She was like, mind
oh,
you.
What, this is the souvenir Mum gave me from Remembrance
it
Day.
It did look
I'll never
awful.
Forget this, 13th of November.
But also, I will say, she heals fast, that child. 24 hours.
They do.
You can hardly see it.
They do. They sort of like...
The skin is like... It's like super...
Like a superhero.
It's like a superpower.
Film. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that? It's like Green Mile, isn't it?
It's like she regenerates in no time
That's
at all.
Where all the gas is, though, isn't it? After the regeneration. That's where it is.
That's the byproduct.
That's the byproduct of being immortal. She did make...
Oh, God.
She did make me laugh when... When, this is when your kid is like a nana.
Yeah.
When I was talking...
Oh, I've got another anecdote for the remembrance.
Oh,
carry on.
Oh, yeah, I know what you... Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
that's
carry
funny
on.
That is. So I was talking to her. She was going to a party. Yeah. She was dead excited. And we were driving home from somewhere. And I went, you got a party this weekend? She went, yeah. And I went, where is it? She went, Cyril's Nut Hut. And I went, oh, yeah, what's that like? She went, yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? She went, well, it's no hocus pocus. I love how in her head she's ranked the soft play.
Yeah. Am I allowed to say something derogatory about Cyril's? It's not called Cyril's Nut Hut anymore.
What's it called?
Cyril's.
Don't say it. We'll bleep it out.
Cyril's Fun House.
Why?
Or Fun Hut or something.
I like Nut Hut.
Yeah, but it's got the implications of Nutter, which isn't. So I think they changed it because of that.
Cyril's Nut Hut.
Yeah. Although,
where everyone walks round in dressing gowns.
Although Cyril was a squirrel, I think. Cyril the squirrel.
15
so
milligrams
nut,
of... what do you get?
It was evident it was a nut that you eat,
I know, but what do you get in the party bags? Bit of cake, a balloon and 40 milligrams of citrulline or something.
Oh, my God.
Just injected into your ass.
Don't ever come back to Cyril's Nut Hut.
Well, all I'm going to say is...
visiting time is 4 to 6.
Cyril's Fun Hut, or whatever he's called...
They've got
two massive parrots in a cage.
Real parrots?
At the entrance, right?
Ooh, I'm not sure about that.
Now...
That's borderline
zoo. Me and my mate Sal went in and they sounded really distressed.
Ah!
No, he was going, get me out! Get me out! No, he wasn't. But he was just these massive, beautiful parrots. They've been there years, okay?
Well,
and...
That's a weird thing.
It's not right.
That's
I don't
a weird
agree
thing
with
to
it.
Have in a soft
it's
play.
So, I don't think the kids could give a shit if not, the parrots are there
who
or not.
Who thinks there's a parrot? I tell you, imagine that going from wherever they've come from. I don't know, the Amazon, wherever the parrots come from. And now they're looking at sweaty kids with fruit shoots.
I know. And it's very noisy in there. And
that's
I just,
what Sophia said. Too noisy in there, Daddy.
Oh, I feel bad saying this now. But
no,
but
it's a review. Is, we're giving an impartial review.
I mean, the kids love it in terms of having fun. It's fantastic. And I have to say the cheesy chips were amazing. But the two parrots, I don't feel good about it.
It is a weird thing to me.
And I have to say they sounded really distressed. And it just upset me and Sal. Not good. Not good at all. Mm. And
you know what you could do? You could free the parrots.
Well,
imagine them just flying around in the
soft play. They'd probably die. They're probably institutionalised.
Yeah,
but it's a big cage, but it's not big enough for two massive parrots.
Welcome to Cyril's.
They can't fly.
Welcome to Cyril's Nut Hut. If you all want to get a stamp, just as you go in, do a wave at the trafficked parrots and have a wonderful party.
It's just.
Would you like a picture with the parrot?
And I was thinking, we were talking about it, like, we were like, that doesn't seem right. But it's so public, surely they'll have passed, they're probably just within regulation of, like, how big the cage has to be. But it still doesn't feel good.
I feel that whenever I go to a zoo now, though.
I don't like zoos.
I can't do a zoo anymore.
No.
Because I just look in those animals' eyes and I think, oh, you don't want to be here. This is weird. Why am I looking at you?
I know there's arguments for conservation and they do a lot of good work. Like, I know Chester Zoo do massive... conservation work, and so do, is it London Zoo do, don't
Twyquart.
They? I don't know. I'm with
Ethically.
You. I'm with you. I just, I
do
don't like it.
My thing is, David Attenborough does enough filming for us all.
He does.
Let David go and show us the chimpanzees and the orangutans and the zebras, and let all the zoos just close them.
Yeah, yeah.
Let David do all the bit. Once David dies, we'll have to have someone else doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe Greta.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
you're right.
I just think I what's going to be better?
There'll be somebody.
Is it going to be better seeing an animal on the blue planet or whatever in its natural environment showing its majesty or behind a chain link fence next to the gift shop? What would you prefer?
No, I know.
Looking like something out of Shawshank.
I just don't want to sound a bit righteous, but I don't.
No, do so. You've got the right jumper.
There'll be somebody out there who'll be thinking, oh, don't be miserable. Kids love a zoo. But. I mean, we've been to Edinburgh Zoo as well. Do you remember when we went there that year?
They were trying to get the pandas to breed.
I think they did have one, didn't they? They did.
Yeah.
Or was it pandas? Or
yeah, it was pandas, mate.
Are you sure?
I think so. 2013, that one.
Okay.
But I don't know, Gemma. I feel ambivalent about...
I don't think you do. I don't think you're ambivalent. No. I think you've just made it clear you don't like them.
Mm.
And I'm with you.
Mm. Ethically, I think they trouble me, you know.
It troubles me.
Yeah. Sophia also did a project at Rainbows where she drew her own future.
Yeah.
And I put this online.
Like Mystic Meg.
And it did make me laugh.
It made
so
me
much.
Laugh as well.
I've got the book here. Right. So see, she wrote this book and it said Sophia Rose Bennett, The Future.
Come on.
Right. So the first page she's drawn is Spain.
Spain.
Spelled S-P-A-N-E.
Good effort.
So she wants to go to Spain.
Yeah.
That's the first thing in the cards. And in Spain, apparently there's a dolphin.
Yeah.
I don't know which part of Spain they are in. You see, that's the thing. They want to see animals in the natural environment.
Exactly.
Where's she going to live? She's going to live in a warm cottage in Manchester.
It'll need to be warm.
Friggin' will, mate. The highest rainfall in the country. Why Manchester?
Because she wants to play for Manchester United.
Right. Is this part of the grand plan?
Because Piper's got a Man U strip.
Well, there's going to be a space because Ronaldo this week torpedoed his own career by slagging off the owners. So there'll be very soon a vacancy.
Okay.
So let's get her a CV in.
Yeah.
So she wants to play for Man United.
Yeah, her and Piper want to play because they play football. So they want to play for Man U.
Right.
I said, you know, aim high, do it. And also they were talking this morning when I was taking him to school about the cars they want. Piper wants a Ferrari. Sophia's still fixated on the soft top Mini.
Soft top Mini, mate.
And I said, well, you know, if you're playing in the Premiership, why not?
You'd have both.
Just have them.
And then it says in the house, a table, a bed, a pool, a sofa and a kitchen, spelt kicking. She says she wants to wear T-shirts, overalls and slippers. It does. She will look like she's been sectioned wandering around like that.
Yeah.
She wears T-shirts, overalls and slippers. She wants to be a footballer or a gymnast. And there's a lovely picture of someone falling off a beam.
Oh, look at that. That's doing a flip. That's really clever she's done that.
Oh, yeah, she's done the...
She's done the process of doing a...
A flip.
Yeah.
And then she wants a sausage dog and a cat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Aww.
In the inside the mind of a six-year-old.
I love the little pictures. It's
what
so
a weird,
cute.
Weird sort of.
So, if you were drawing your future, what would your pictures be?
Just a blank piece of paper, baby.
Really?
Yeah, the future's not yet written. I think my future would be I would draw a day off.
Yeah.
No, what? It's difficult, isn't it? Because maybe that's an exercise we should do.
Yeah.
We should draw our futures.
Yeah.
I think it would be. I don't know what my future would be if I drew it now. It's quite difficult. We haven't got as much time as her, have we?
Oh, don't start with that. God's sake.
I would like to close down all zoos.
Mm.
Like a missionary.
Yeah.
Just go down. Instead of just stop oil, you know, do a campaign when I glue myself to a zebra or something.
Well, that's interesting.
Would you do your future?
I was just going to say, that's interesting you said that because at Coffee Club this morning, we got on to some quite heavy subjects. Mm. So we got on to, the girl said to me, what are you going to talk about on the podcast? And I said, oh, I've got loads to talk about. And I sort of gave them a few pointers. And then obviously we started talking about them. And one of the topics was Joe Lycett's video to David Beckham.
Brilliant.
So if any of you haven't seen it, basically Joe has done a video challenging David Beckham to step down from his sponsorship of £10 million as the ambassador for Qatar.
He's the face of the Qatar World Cup.
Qatar.
And what a lovely place to have a World Cup in, a boiling hot desert renowned for its lack of human rights. Yeah. What a festival of football that's going to be.
So basically, Joe has said, sort of said, you know, that David Beckham has always been, well, he said, you married a Spice Girl, which is about the gayest thing you could ever do.
Yeah.
So he littered it with a bit few lighter moments, but the message was very, very clear, because if you are gay in Iran, Qatar, and we'll come on to Iran in a minute, you can be sentenced to imprisonment and even death.
I think
if
it
you
goes
are,
a bit further than that.
Yeah, death if you are Muslim. And so it's a really shitty situation, and it's just widely known. And it does make you question, what the frigging hell are we doing? You know, because it makes me feel like I don't want to watch the World Cup, because it feels like I am complicit with it.
I think as well, there's been sort of rumours how they got the bid was dodgy. Yeah. Like apparently Michel Platini sold his bid for like to a sheikh and got sort of a lot of kickbacks and money. And I think it's a bit of a dirty, corrupt.
It just feels wrong.
And you sort of, there's been a lot of cartoons of like the stadiums with the footballers and the sheikhs shaking hands with the footballers. And then underneath is a load of bodies.
Yeah.
So like all the people that they've dispersed or moved on or have died in building the stuff. I don't think labour and human rights and, you know, laws are, in terms of work laws, are particularly prominent over there. So I wouldn't imagine if they're working in a boiling hot desert, they'd be like, would everyone like a break for some water? I don't think there's someone doing that. I think there's someone going, keep going, otherwise we'll give you 50 lashes.
Yeah.
It does seem a bit like it was built on the back of slavery, that World Cup.
It just...
And I know what you mean. It feels... And the problem is, though, is it does... This is the problem with any thing like this. You're sat watching the World Cup on your telly, on your sofa.
You're removed.
And you're going, well, it's bloody miles away, it's Qatar.
It's removed.
And that's human nature. We're terrible
like that. We're hypocrites. We're all hypocrites.
Humans are.
But I feel sorry for the football lads, because I think, are they playing England?
Yeah.
You see, I really feel uncomfortable. I'd have to take a stand.
Mm.
I mean... What do you
do? Well, it's a good job you're not playing then, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's your career, isn't it? But if we don't take a stand on stuff like this, because they are like, in terms of human rights, it's like they're 1,000 years behind us.
Well, also, they've said, I saw it on Twitter, that they will arrest anyone flying a rainbow flag. So there you go. Which is going to be trouble, because if you walk in with that jumper, you'd be in an headlock.
I know.
I mean, even like, you can't tell the difference between football flags at a distance and a rainbow flag.
So that was my first thing. That was the first thing we discussed this morning.
It's very heavy for a cappuccino. Yeah.
But I really feel strongly
about
that.
What's this got to do with your own future?
I think I've moved on from that, Anthony. And then the other one we talked about was Iran. So Shappi Khorsandi, I know, has done a huge amount to try and... raise awareness about the issues that are going on in Iran at the moment. And we were talking about this, me and Liz particularly, and just saying how it really isn't always at the forefront of news, and yet it's atrocious what's happening. And apparently I might have got the statistics wrong here, but I think there's been 14,000 imprisoned, and there's talks that they're going to execute all
Bloody
of them.
Hell.
You know, the women who've protested. It's just... atrocious. And you just think, so what? That's why I've linked it to the future, because then I said to everybody around the table, to all these brilliant women sat around, I said, what if every month as Coffee Club we say we are going to devote some of our time to a cause? Because I said to Ellie, because Ellie is so amazing, she makes such a difference in terms of her small efforts go a long way in terms of the community. And I said, you know, and she said, because I said, it feels overwhelming sometimes. We can't do anything about Qatar. How do you say it?
Qatar.
We can't do anything about Iran. We're not there. But she said, but it's small things. If we all do small things, it can make a difference. Okay?
Yeah.
So That in itself is sometimes quite empowering because you feel quite helpless, don't you, when you hear about these big issues that are on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So we were saying if every month we do one thing that we feel has made some difference. And the first thing we've said we're going to do is they are apparently saying to people, write to your MP about Iran. Write to them. Now, we then discussed the fact that we think our MP is useless. And Ellie said she knows for a fact that they send out very copy and pasted letters back from the MP.
Mm-hmm.
So she said we need to do a video letter.
Right.
Okay.
This sounds like you're forming the basis of a movement.
Well, it feels a bit like that. But she said,
this feels like Cuba.
Well, I'm speaking now to the BWTB pod
do you know what's,
listeners.
Well, I'll tell you what's
and going. I'm thinking, you know, you might be sat there thinking, I can't do anything. But I think we can. I think there's small little things that we can do. And if we all do it, it might make some difference.
I think that's true. Do you know what's going to be interesting?
Go on.
Is when that coffee club starts popping up on the watch lists.
Mm.
The local FBI, yeah. CID. They'd yeah. be like, I tell you what, there's a bit of some chatter on the WhatsApps. Yeah.
But
there's
a
load of these menopausal ladies sipping lattes. Yeah. They're going to bring us down from within.
But you know when you think about how...
It's true.
It feels a bit of a shit show here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At the minute, politically and... You know, people are worried about the cost of living and but we still really have freedom. And freedom is so, it's taken for granted. And I'm going to do a bit of a callback here, like a comedian would do, to the Remembrance Parade. Because, you know, I took Sophia down because I think it's important she sees... Because it's not about whether you're an advocate for war or not. It's not about that. It's about people who have given their lives for freedom, to defend freedom. And freedom is just such a wonderful thing. And we can walk down the street without risk of persecution. And I just think it's really important to keep that in mind of the younger generation. Because as I looked around, my mum and dad were there. And I thought they are really the last generation who had parents who fought in the Great War. But then me and my brother were talking and it's like, well, you know, if you fought in Falklands or Iraq or,
Afghanistan.
Yeah, there's still stuff going on that affects people in the forces and their families. And, you know, I just thought, we're so lucky, aren't we, that even though it's a shit show here, we're one of the most progressive, free nations in the world. And when you look at Iran and Qatar and places like that, you just think, bloody hell. But on a lighter note,
thank God.
Yeah, looking at the soldiers, I love watching them march. My God, they're amazing. Yeah. It just gives me goosebumps, you know.
Smart
and
as
the
well.
Bugle playing the last part. Oh, Jesus, every time gets me. But the sergeant, I don't know if it's the right name, sergeant, is it? He was shouting all the commands. And he turned to face the crowd. He turned to face the crowd. He looks so smart. Quite a big guy.
And you sort of want to shout over the top, don't you?
Yeah.
Makes you melchy.
But he faced the crowd and looked at the kids because all the kids were like at the front so they could see. And he stuck his tongue out. So the kids were all like, did you see that? He stuck his tongue out, you know, just to show a bit of sense of humour kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he turned round and they were stood at ease for the moment silence. Yeah. And then a wasp buzzing round the sergeant.
A disrespectful wasp.
And I just looked at this mum next to me and we both clocked it. And we both looked at each other like, oh my God.
So you're in the minute silence. Your eyes are going.
Yeah.
You're trying to communicate the word wasp without saying wasp. Yeah. So
and we couldn't take our eyes off the sergeant. We knew he wouldn't move. Even if that bugger stung him on the neck or the
Where
ear.
Where was it?
It buzzed around his ear first, then on his neck.
It doesn't work, though.
Then round to the front, went to his face, and he didn't.
Did he crawl
flinch.
On his face?
He did not flinch.
Oh, he needs to go on I'm a Celeb.
And then it finally flew away, and we both turned to each other like, thank God.
Do you know what I'd have done if I was doing the... Do they do, during the minute silence, do they have the bugle still?
Yeah.
I'd have sucked it down.
Oh, it's so moving, that listening to that.
Do you know what I could do?
What?
I could go on I'm a Celeb. We need to talk about it.
I hate the way you shoehorn stuff in.
It's not shoehorned.
Yeah, it is.
No, that was about
I can
celebrity.
See you with your little list. Show me where it is on your list. Show me now. There. Fucking list. Shove it up your arse. Actually, I really love I'm a Celebrity.
What
you
do you
know
think,
I do.
What do you think about the lineup this year?
Don't know him.
Well, Matt Hancock.
He's not there yet.
But what do you think about that?
Don't care.
What do you think he's going to do well?
No.
When you say you love I'm a Celeb, you've got to have a bit more of an opinion than just yes.
I do love it. I do love
it. How do you think he's going to cope?
I know Mike Tindall. I know that bird off Coronation Street.
Yeah.
Eileen. Chris Moyles. Chris Moyles?
Moyles, yeah.
Yeah.
Sean Walsh, Babatunde Alessi.
Sean Walsh isn't there yet.
They're all, well, he's coming in, isn't he? He's getting thrown in with
That's
Matt
all I know. They're the only ones I know.
Do you think Matt Hancock, or Boy George?
Oh, yeah, I know Boy George.
Matt Hancock is going to get voted to do loads of trials?
Yeah, obviously.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you not think it's weird, though, should. That he went to, like, Eton and had this amazing education and now he's doing I'm a Celebrity?
No.
Because he's torpedoed his career?
No.
Do you not think that's weird?
No.
Do you think he's going to come out of it well?
I don't really know. I don't really know. Maybe the hate for him is too strong. But the sad thing is people think they can keep going, make him do the trial. But for every single trial, he could just say, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And he doesn't have to do it. And he wouldn't win stars for the camp. And then the camp would hate him as well as the public.
I think he's quite happy.
But people wouldn't vote him out.
So imagine that.
So he could get away with not doing anything.
So he could, in there.
Do you know what? Actually, I've just thought. If I was in the camp, that's what I'd do.
What?
I'd just go, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, and I wouldn't win any.
But you'd be hated.
I don't care.
On your little hammock?
Yeah. I just do
every
it.
Night, lonely.
I would say...
Just in your hammock in the corner.
I would say...
How many stars,
live,
Gemma?
No, I'd say live on the camera, I'd go, I don't give a shit that you hate me, but I'm not eating a testicle, so you're having beans tonight. Bon appetit.
Beans and rice.
Yeah. Up your arse.
Then,
oh, do you know what
next
I do?
One, who's going to do?
No, do you know what I do? I get the testicle and I just push it into my face instead of eating it.
Do you mean?
And I get the sheep's eye and just squish it on my cheek.
Why?
Pretend that I couldn't eat it properly.
Just doing it.
Yeah.
But they'd be like, Gemma, you need to put it
you
in
need
your
to
mouth.
Eat it, and I'll be going, I can't. Don't want to do
You've
it.
You got a witchery grub milkshake?
Yeah.
No. Just pour it down into your lap.
Yeah. Can't do
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, I dropped that.
Yeah. I just pour it on my chin.
Just. Gemma, that is what you've got there is a critter smoothie.
Yeah, you know when people pretend to drink something and go like that? I do that. Yeah.
So, ooh. Or you do this, you go, Aunt Dec, look, there's a kangaroo.
Yeah, and I chuck it over my shoulder and go,
Oh, that's awful. Oh. That's awful.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's what I do. I treat them like toddlers and pretend that I'm doing it. Yeah. Try and trick them.
Just do that with your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, do you remember that?
Oh, just That's go to Aunt and Deck and go, I can't eat that. Why? Because I've got your nose.
Yeah.
Got your nose, look.
Yeah.
What is she doing?
Yeah.
Then go back into camp. Imagine just, you walking through the trees. You know when you walk and they push the ferns aside? How many stars, Gemma? None. I've told you.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I told
it.
You before I went.
Yeah, I can't do
You'd
it.
You'd do it before you went. You went, they've nominated me again.
I'm just going to let you know, I can't do
I'm
it.
I'm not doing any of them.
No.
Right, I'm not even getting in the coffin.
No.
So... It's beans and rice, mate. There's nothing wrong with beans and rice. No. People have lived for millions of years on beans and rice.
Yeah.
Can we not...
Shut your noise up.
Yeah, but we don't... We're going to shit in your hammock. Do it.
Do it. Knock yourself out.
I don't care. I will sleep in the middle of a fire pit.
Yeah.
That's quite an interesting...
I know. I'd like that tactic. And also, at the beginning, I saw them being interviewed like, so why have you come on I'm a Celebrity? Not one of them said, well, apart from the fact I'm getting paid a lot to do it...
And they are.
Why isn't anybody acknowledging that? I'm doing it to grow and to challenge myself. No, I just want you to say, I'm doing it to get paid, to pay my bills. And second of all, it's to have an experience.
No one has grown by eating a bollock.
No.
In fact, you sort of go the other way.
Your life isn't enriched by eating a blended cow
testicle.
Imagine
that in the book. Imagine that. I tell you, there was a year when I really decided I discovered myself. And what happened was, it was very, very, it was a sheep's eye that changed everything for me.
Yeah.
And,
that moment.
And that kangaroo and kangaroo and.
Is that hairy bollock? rested on my lip.
Is that kangaroo bollock past my lips? And I tongued its scrotum.
Yeah.
I thought, do you know what? I'm gonna call my father. Yeah. And
is that camel's anus?
As I chewed through that tough,
I tell you what,
camel's anus, Scott. I thought, I am gonna square things up with my brother. I just did. I just thought that it was going down my esophagus.
Do you know with this tooth I've got right now? Oh yeah. Or it'll get right stuck in.
Imagine
there.
Me with my reflux.
I'd have camel's anus hanging out there for weeks.
You think you're bad? Imagine me with my reflux.
Oh God.
A cat, ant.
Has anybody got a rennie?
Anyone got any gavis? Gone? Yeah. I've just had a kangaroo's anus. Yeah, it's too spicy.
Yeah.
I've got really bad acid.
Brings us on to I'm a Celeb. Now, we did discuss it. We did discuss it last week, but we sort of caught it this week, didn't we? Where we saw, I think it was last night, where they, is it Matt Hancock and who's the other lady?
I don't know her name.
They were in the. They're in the important.
Is it Charlene?
I think,
I don't know.
They're in the important bit, aren't they? And you was like, they have to sleep in that hut.
Yeah.
And she chose to sleep outside because it was literally covered in huntsman spiders.
Yeah.
And he just went in, head down, kipping.
Yeah.
And I said to you, it's because she's so exhausted. Mm. I think you would literally sleep with a spider on your head. And you were like, no. But then I reminded you when you used to work at Estar Tits and you were cleaning those caravans and you slept in that tent, which was riddled with ants. Mm. And the first night you're a bit freaked out. And I know how freaked out you are. Mm. Second night you were just laid there. I bet they were all over you like a sugar lump and you just didn't flinch. I think you're so tired.
Yeah, but I don't... No, I thought it was more a measure of the man in terms of like he has a disconnect... He can disconnect himself.
Well, I'll tell you what it might be as well.
Go on.
Didn't he go to private school?
Mm.
So I think the actual...
I don't know for a fact, actually, but I'm assuming he did.
I'm assuming he did. The actual fact of having a spider crawling over his head is probably, you know, preferable to having one of the older boys come in and put his pipe on your head. I'd rather have a huntsman spider on my face than Tarquin's pipe across my forehead.
Than be warming a crumpet.
Be warming a crumpet between my cheeks.
Well...
But you know what's really interesting, though? And I was talking to someone about this the other day. What's really weird is the British public... I don't think we're like anywhere else in the world. I think we're weird. I think we're a weird society. I think we are. I think there's a lot of things we do well, and there's a lot of times where I step back and think British people are absolutely mental.
Mm.
Queuing. The queuing thing we do... nowhere else in the world has got the control to stand and waste their own life like we have. It's admirable.
Yeah.
Just the fact that we just go, this is how it works and we can accept it. The self-control is impressive. The other thing is, it's like this guy, I said to you, this guy's like, you know, potentially people couldn't see their nanas. They couldn't go to funerals. This guy was making rules, giving his mates PPE. And we thought, do you know what? Instead of investigating it, what we'll do is we'll stick him on telly, give him £500,000 and have a bit of a laugh and see what he's like. Sometimes I'm just like, have we lost our minds or something? I know it's the producers that have put him in there. But then it got me thinking, maybe that's the way we do society now. Maybe there's no court. Maybe we've got no... system, maybe it's straight to a Bush Tucker trial.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like you've been done for doing 35 in a 30, Mr. Johnson. And the jury have decided, we voted, and I'm afraid it might be you.
Yeah. And I'm afraid you're going to have to suck on a kangaroo's
We have
penis.
Got a witchery grub smoothie. Mm. And if you drink that and pay a £60 fine, we'll say no more about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do an eating challenge. It's either that or bungee jumping from an aeroplane.
Yeah.
I think that would be... Imagine if it was like I'm a celebrity justice system. Do you know what I mean? I think that's how we'd like it in society.
Yeah.
I don't know what you feel about that.
I feel really mixed up about it because I'm very aware we're coming across as very righteous today.
It's very righteous, this
and we're
podcast.
Not. Me and you are not. We're
well, let's...
well, no. I feel like how do we tread this? We're not righteous, but we are. I think morally we're quite sound, but at the same time we're fallible, like everybody else, in the sense that I've watched I'm a Celebrity, so I'm just as guilty. I'm as complicit as everybody else because I've watched it. Therefore, I've given him airtime. And I've I've joined in with the circus that is I'm a Celebrity. Mm. And just to say, I said to you this morning, they're not whiter than white. The others behind Matt's back, Matt Hancock's back, are obviously, they're complaining about it, saying, you know,
you shouldn't be on here.
You shouldn't be on here. I can't believe I'm shacked up with bloody Matt Hancock. You know, what will they say back home? And, but at the same time, they haven't walked, have they? And they could walk and they'd probably still get their fee. Mm-hmm. You could refuse to be in the jungle with him if you felt very principled about
it. Is it because we don't know the true truth about him? Is this the problem?
Well, what do we know?
We've been given a narrative.
What do we know?
Well, I think we know he shagged it someone right. else when he was
we
married.
We cannot hold him personally responsible for the deaths of people during the pandemic. Is that what we're saying? Right? But due to policy and
his decisions,
his conduct,
he's affected people's lives forever.
It has, obviously, we're going to hold him responsible in that sense.
Yeah.
So
it's very difficult.
What am I saying here?
I don't know.
But you know, like Boy George, he's got a very checkered past.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with him being on there, I think.
Well, that's how I feel, because this is when you question.
We shouldn't be giving someone like
that.
This
is when you question to what point we turn a blind eye to what is morally right. Mm. So, you know, it just feels, you know, you only have to go on Twitter and see how many people were so affected by, not necessarily if you had a relative who died from COVID, but I think the people who weren't able to go to a funeral or didn't have a loved one by their side, or those, that's the bit that really stings. That's the bit that people cannot forgive.
And I understand that. It's a bit like having Joseph Fritzl on DIY SOS.
Yeah.
Do you know, like Nick Knowles coming and going, Joseph's been struggling with his basement. Let's bring in Peter Plummer to put in some.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Joseph. I don't know what you're going to do with this. It's very quiet down here. It just feels a little bit distasteful. That's where we should leave it.
But then there's a human study going on whereby I think I would struggle.
Redemption.
There's an element of forgiveness. I'm not a religious person, but you do think, how long do you make somebody suffer and pay for something, right? So that's a question. And second of all, just on a human level, if I was in that jungle with Matt Hancock, I don't think I could be rude to somebody, or I couldn't be, do you know what I mean? I couldn't be.
Well, you're not very confrontational, are you?
No, I couldn't be. So what I'm saying
is, the loudest thing about you is your jumper.
Yeah. Do we forgive people, or do we show understanding that if they are in the jungle, they're in a very unusual and extreme situation, you know, do we really blame them that they're just trying to make the best of it, basically? And that, you know, to pick issue with Matt Hancock right now and have it out with him could be very difficult. And
can I just tell you the problem?
Go on.
And this is the problem, I think, where we should end it here. Yeah. I think the problem is because he's a politician and because he's guarded, Their self-serving, self-preservation gene overrides their humility.
Mm.
And so what happens is, what you actually want him to do is to sit around that campfire and go, I really fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling to live with this.
Yeah.
I'm on here because I feel terrible about myself. Yeah. I lost my marriage.
Yeah.
I lost my job.
Yeah.
I'm not serving my constituents. I failed. And I'm here to learn something from that failure.
Yeah.
I can never ever repay the people who weren't able to see his relatives. I made these decisions and I made them at the best of my ability. But what I did wrong was I wasn't honest.
Yeah.
I should be honest. I should say sorry.
Yeah.
And that will never happen.
You're so right.
That is the problem.
Oh.
I'm good when I want to be.
You bloody good.
If it had said sorry.
Scott, that was amazing.
And I will be running for local government. that's the problem. If you'd have said sorry, if all people want is honesty, and if people...
You're right.
Not that it's going to make anything better, but people would at least go, just come off the script for a minute and stop thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of me, medical problems from Scott.
Come on.
Twitchy nose.
What the hell is going on with your freaking nostrils?
6 weeks.
It's not 6 weeks.
Twitchy.
Right. Basically, Scott said to me, I've got a twitch in my nose. Do you think I'm going to die?
I've got a spasm in my nose.
I said, I don't think you're going to die from a twitchy nose. It's probably a trapped nerve.
It's weird. It's been...
Because you can get one in your eye going...
I used to get the Captain Darling.
I've had that.
It's basically been about 4 weeks and it's been like... I noticed it.
You probably put your finger up it too many times.
No, I noticed it when I was working because I was working and it went... You. I'm going, what are you doing?
Yeah, like a rabbit.
Like a little rabbit. Yeah. And I thought, oh, maybe I've overdone the coffee.
Yeah.
So I backed off the coffee, still there. And occasionally what it is, it feels like a fairy has got her fingers up my nose like this.
Yeah.
And I wondered if it was like, I've had these weird dreams where, you know that thing you used to have to burn the hairs in your nostril, that thing that would... Or cut the hairs, the little trimmer thing.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe you didn't get rid of it all, and I've just got a massive collection of hairball in my nose ends.
I don't think so.
And now I've got these. I had these weird dreams that my nose is sort of full of like shopping trolleys and like these. You know, these really sort of Salvador Dali esque twisted. Because I'm worried about my nose. The last time I dreamt about my own body parts like this was when I had my ring on the wrong finger in Malta, and I tried to sleep through it. And in the middle of the night, I dreamt I had a big foam finger, like I was at Gladiators.
And you woke up and you did.
And I woke up and I did. It was black and swollen. And it's so weird. And it's sort of like twitchy. And I've Googled it, and people said it can be stress related. I was
how could a twitchy nose be stress-related?
How can stress be just concentrated around your nose, man?
No, I'm not having
so
that.
I'm like a nervous Pinocchio.
It's just a trap nerve.
Do you?
I don't know when it's going to
I don't know when it's going to release. Then a lot of people said it's not enough sleep or not enough rest.
Why would not enough sleep manifest as a twitchy nose?
I've read these things online.
I mean, you've had not enough sleep for 10 years and you haven't had an itchy nose for 10 years.
But then I've got bad piles, man.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to have to sort this out.
But you never do it for stuff. This is what annoys me about you.
I'll tell you why.
Go on.
I've looked in the mirror.
Have you?
The makeup mirror. Oh, dear. Oh,
is it bad?
Oh, it's like a bunch of grapes.
Oh, no.
You know when you look in the mirror and you put your legs up? It's never a good look.
No, it's
not.
At
that moment when you're looking at your own hole with a mirror on the bed, you do think, I need to sort my life out because this is the lowest... Is this the lowest I've ever felt? Probably
I'm
so.
I'm sure it isn't.
But it was that sort of moment where, I don't use the... I've tried those creams before. Give you instant headache.
I hate them. And yourself.
Have you found that?
Yeah.
You put it on and it's
awful.
Like within... How is that wired to that? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why you put pessaries up there, isn't it? Because it's directly into your bloodstream.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah. It's like the power of that.
It's awful.
I'm going to start having my breakfast via there.
I know, I was going to say.
Get all the nutrients.
Should be glucosamine up there.
I don't know. But
you need to get it sorted, darling.
I do, yeah.
So you've got a twitchy nose,
yeah.
A veiny arse. Anything else?
No.
Well, I've been a bit palpy, rapid heart for...
Is this the medical section?
Yeah, this is the medical section. Okay. So I'm on my 100 milligrams of oestrogen now as a patch. And I'm still obviously got my coil in, which is giving me my progesterone. And I think generally I'm feeling good, okay? Mm. Just as an out, you know, from the offset here. I'm generally feeling good.
This has like gone like a drop-in appointment.
Yeah, well, they like to know the updates.
Generally, you know, guys.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I feel quite positive.
You went for your little downstairs trim?
I did.
Do you know what was weird?
I had my... Muff wax.
You had
the weekend feeling good.
You had a pre-trim here.
How do you know?
I was listening.
Ah,
not listening at the door with a glass.
But you don't want them to be faced with a woolly mammoth down there.
That's like asking the cleaner to come round your house and whipping round with the Dyson.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
It's the shame of it,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that because you didn't want to just go here?
No, because it hurts more if your hair's really long. Then waxing it. it pulls.
I feel the same when I get to take my car to be hoovered.
Exactly.
I think if I just open that door and let them see.
Well, no, but if you shave your face from a beard, you know how long you have to take the, sort of like the pre-hair off before you can shave properly, don't you?
So you're feeling pretty good. You went and had that business
I'm feeling
done.
Pretty good, but it's still, I'm having these symptoms. So I did have my hormone headache last week for one day. So that seemed better, touch wood. So whether that's the patches making a difference, I don't know. But I have had this rapid heart, which is very disconcerting. So if anybody out there is having perimenopausal symptoms and they've experienced like palpitations or rapid heart, it is a symptom. Now, what I do find helps me is, I hate to say it, guys, but exercise. And I played netball on Wednesday, but I haven't done my fitness class for 2 weeks now just because of being busy. But I've booked in to do it tonight, 7:15. And I really do think it does me good.
I just, do you know what someone said? Is they love you rocking the tabard at netball.
Oh, yeah. Rocking that tabard. Do you know, we love it. It's such a good game. But yeah, so I do find exercise helps. I do an awful lot. I'm never sitting still, to be honest. But
you're busy.
Getting your heart rate up is good, I think. And, you know, and what I have to do is, because I do get health anxiety, and I manage to keep it under wraps, okay, I know how to self sort of counsel, as it were, to cope with intrusive thoughts or irrational thoughts. But when I have got a rapid heart, or, you know, I'm experiencing that on and off, it does wobble me a bit, because I'm always like, is there something wrong with me? You know, and I start thinking those thoughts, and that can obviously perpetuate it or make you feel anxious, which isn't obviously going to make you feel good. So I have to calm myself down and just think, no, this is symptomatic of probably hormones. Bloody hormones. I don't know what I've got to do to... But, you know, then you think to yourself, well, maybe if I wasn't on my patches, it would be a lot worse. I don't know. It's all very much... The problem with menopausal stuff and perimenopausal... There's no rule. Everybody's different. And your hormone levels fluctuate so much that it's hard to track it. It's hard to say, you know, what's going on at any one time. But I've spoken to loads of women, again, still friends who... are still investigating, you know, they've got symptoms that they don't necessarily put down to perimenopause. And actually, when you speak to them, they're like, oh, yeah, I am suffering with this, or I'm feeling, sometimes I feel, you know, because you still never know if it's just you feel low or you feel anxious or my sleep's a bit disturbed and, you know, I never even thought that potentially it could be my hormones that are making this difficult.
And you can never... The problem is life is never linear, is it?
No.
There's always stuff going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's... But you're all right.
I'm okay. And also, I was going to say, in terms of me and you as well, I was going to say something.
Where is this going?
No, it's not going anywhere bad. I was just saying that the other night we did say to each other that it's important to try and be just kind to each other. Mm. And I think making an effort to just have a hug or just physical, like in terms of like holding hands or sometimes...
You love hand-holding.
I do.
Gemma loves hand-holding, and she does this thing where her hand sort of marauds across your hand.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of walking hand in hand.
No.
Am I? Because you've sometimes tried to do that and I'm like, get off.
That's the time. This is the weird thing. At bed when I'm trying to nod off. Yeah. Hands all over, like kneading bread dough.
Yeah.
When we go out for a walk, strolling, hands are cold, thinking it'd be really nice to have another human hand as warm.
Yeah.
Get off, you weirdo. No, I don't like public
affection.
It
interrupts my arm swing. Yeah.
Is that because you're propelling yourself
along?
Yeah,
exactly. But
you can do it with one hand.
I think, again, in terms of relationship stuff, it's about, because let's be honest, we do piss each other off a lot. I'd say more, you piss me off. But,
well, I must have to say though.
Go on.
I tell you what, it is that, I mean, yeah, it is hard. Wednesdays, because you go out to work tomorrow, that morning is literally feels like Vietnam.
I don't know why you struggle.
Because I sent you the other morning
Yeah.
About the...
we're calling it sexy chat, hashtag sexy chat.
Should we read the latest sexy chat?
I think people have probably heard it, but
it's because you go to work in the morning. Yeah. And you're out the door at what time? Are you out the door? Seven. So, like, I mean, I sent this, didn't I? Well, I can't find it.
No,
now.
Don't worry.
Oh no, I can find it. Here we go. And it's because when I wake up in the morning, you're gone, and then it's just Sophia comes down when she wants to come down, and it's just like getting your head kicked in.
Well, why don't you get her up?
What time should I wake her up though?
I would wake her up about 7:45.
Oh God.
So she's got time to sit, watch a bit of telly, have a breakfast.
But then you're gone, and then it's like I've got to make... Both of them want sandwiches.
Yeah.
So that's a stress.
Yeah.
And then...
But I did Liv's packed lunch this morning.
But then I couldn't find...
And we had an Asda shop delivered that I put away.
Oh, that was early.
No, it wasn't. It was only 7:10.
I know, it felt like the middle of the night.
No.
Just, oh, good morning, no substitutions.
Oh,
that's all I could hear.
It was ever so nice.
It was like he was in my dream.
It was lovely.
No substitutions, all right, love.
What a job, though, in the rain. It was horrible.
Is he not? And you always say the same. Oh, not a nice day for you.
Yeah, I said, oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
It's better being in the van all over.
Oh, bless him.
Lovely to see you in your dressing gown. But yeah, so I sort of, where is it? Here we are. So I sort of got up, and then she was like, you said, oh, she's got PE. And it's just like, it feels like...
But you can't find anything.
I'll tell you what it is. It feels like everything converges in one day. You've got to admit, that is a lot.
No.
In one day,
no.
Sandwiches,
no.
PE.
Scott, this is what I do every day.
And I sent you these messages. Yeah. Can't find any of her PE kit. Only school stuff. Nothing in wardrobes. No PE top. She's had to go in her footy stuff. I can't find anything. It's sorted.
And what really makes me laugh is if you look at the minutes that lapse between those messages, that's why I always just let you finish, because I'm just like, in a 5 minutes' time, you'll go, it's all okay.
I just love
all
the sorted. I love the desperate. I can't find anything.
And the fact that you stop what you're doing to text me that.
I'll text. Do you know who's going to help me find this PE kit? Someone on their way to Mansfield.
Exactly.
Driving up the M1. I can't find anything.
Yeah.
It's sorted.
And do you know what I always love is it gets to about 7:40. So I've been on the road for 40 minutes. And I think, right, now's the time to do the phone call. So I do the phone call.
Do you know what you do?
And you always come to the phone like you've been up for ages, like, yeah, no. Everybody's up. And I'm like, you've literally just struggled out of bed.
Gemma rings me just in case my phone alarm doesn't go off. Because sometimes I'm not working tonight, but sometimes I'll be gigging and I'm getting in and I can't sleep. And then it's like, you know, when a radio station rings a prize winner, that the phone rings and
is.
I feel like going... Gem radio in my life, no more strife. What do I win, John? It's just a very difficult... I don't like Wednesdays.
Should we just show the camera my notes?
What does it say?
Trump, wasp, parrots.
That's literally all Gemma did. I'm going to have to give you a little gig report.
Go on.
Now, I haven't got many to talk about because it feels like such a massive time gap between the last record, but it's not. It's just the weeks
just
are so
a week.
Busy. Yeah. I've had two things. A tour show, and I don't think I mentioned this on the
pod. Go on.
It was Birmingham Just the Tonic. I'm pretty sure I haven't mentioned this.
No.
And
I don't know what you're going to say.
I was doing the tour. Mm. Tell me if I am, because I've forgotten everything.
I can't remember anything.
And someone's phone alarm goes off. Have I told you this?
I can't remember.
Oh, well, if we have, we've said it before, but you can't even remember because most of the time you don't listen to me. So someone's phone alarm goes off in the, you know, it's like, do, do, do.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Do, do, do.
Yeah.
Do. And I went, is that someone's phone alarm? And this lad went, yeah, it's my girlfriend's. And I went, are you got to be somewhere else? Mm. And she went, no. I was like, who sets a phone alarm for 8:44? It's like really specific.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it medication? Because if I blunder into this and you like, I'm on medication because I've had a transplant, I'm going to like an absolute arsehole and be cancelled. And they started laughing. And I'm going...
Oh, hang on a minute. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Ovulation.
No.
Oh.
No, because that would have been... the first thing I thought was, the last place you want to conceive is Rosie's Toilets on Broad Street in Birmingham.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... It's just not the place to do it.
No.
You know, although you would be stuck to the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you wouldn't move.
Injection for IVF.
No.
Okay.
So anyway, he's laughing and I goes, come on. And she won't tell this young couple, lovely couple, she won't tell me.
Right.
And I went, come on, Nate, tell me what it is, because we're not going to move on.
Oh, no. Arse cream.
No. And okay. He went, it's her teeth whitening alarm. And I went, you what? And he went, yeah, she's out of the alarm because she's doing her teeth. I don't even know this was a thing. What is this world? So obviously it's a bit like hair dye, isn't it? You put your teeth stuff on and then you have to do it again, reapplicate it at a certain
time.
Because obviously it must not work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, well, you better go. Better go to the toilet. And I was like, this is when you know your career is sort of like you're playing to small rooms.
Yeah.
Because at no point have I seen Michael McIntyre, excuse me, Michael, can you just hang on? I've got to go and put my teeth whitening stuff on.
So did she leave?
She popped, bless her, she popped as discreetly as possible and came back.
How white were her teeth?
I don't, well, I
didn't
then.
Didn't even look?
No, because then later on I just kept mentioning it. And I did that bit about trying for a baby.
Yeah.
And they were like a young couple. I says, imagine that though, mate, in a couple of years' time. You'll be there one night and you probably won't be in the mood, but it won't matter because you have to do it because there's a schedule. Yeah. And I said, you'll wake up, she'll be there. A big white teeth staring down on you.
Yeah, that's it.
Like a great white shark. Yeah. And I kept bringing in the teeth as the night went on.
It lent itself.
It was, and I wish I'd have filmed it, because it was one of those, it was the only one I didn't film. Classic, isn't it? Because that was the moment where my teeth whitening alarm, and loads of people have messaged me going, oh my God, oh my God, can you believe the teeth whitening alarm? Mm. Andy Leach, is it? Andy Leach, A Leach 654, great show in Birmingham. I wonder how her teeth are. So there's a lot of people who are interested.
I want to do the follow up.
I want to do the follow up on the teeth.
We should do it before and after. I saw Lauren Patterson put a post up on Twitter, right? That her boyfriend had a go at stand up doing her support the other night. She'd been saying to him for ages to have a go.
Mm.
And I think he'd been wanting to do it for a while. And she got no support. So she said to him, you do my support slot. And he did.
How did that
And
go
he did
down?
Really well. And I was like, shall I be your support?
You can do it. Do you want to do it?
Nope.
Why?
Look. There's a cat wanted to come in. You've got to let him in. It's pissing down. Come on. I can't carry on with seeing a cat wet, a wet cat.
Come on. Skirt round what you're thinking.
I know.
That's why you can't be my
you
support.
You thought it. You know thought what? It.
That's why.
You thought it.
That's why.
You thought it.
That's why you'll never be my support.
You're filthy.
Do you know why you'll never
you're
be
filthy.
My support?
Why?
Because you're doing jokes from the 70s.
Look, he's ran off now.
He'll come back. He's all right.
It's because he's gone under a tree because he's wet. If you open that door and shout him.
I'm not. He's going to go through the cat flap.
No, he's not. Live on the podcast.
Oh,
come on.
For God's sake.
Live on the podcast. He's rescuing a wet cat. Come on. Let him in, poor lad. Oh.
Come on. Stay there.
Move your bag. He won't come in if that's in the way.
Come on. Stop picking about. Get in. Come on.
There, he's coming. He is.
Right,
you
don't want to come in.
Oh.
You don't want to come in. You see, this is what he does.
Oh, love it.
Being gaslit by my own cat here.
Yeah. I can't believe he didn't come in.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, he's come back. Look, he's coming back.
I'm not getting
Scott.
Back up. This is wasting our time now.
I know, just one more time. Let him in. I can't concentrate if he's not being...
Jesus Christ.
There you are, he's back.
Bobby, come on. No. shit. Over to next door.
Right, so anyway, I was going to say...
Oh, you could... Yeah. You'd be all right at stand-up. What would you be... what would you say?
Well, you know I've written some material, haven't I?
Yeah, ages
ago.
I'd
be awful.
Would
I think
be
I'd be
too
awful.
Nervous?
I'd be so nervous. It'd be horrendous. What? I suppose if I knew I was doing it...
What would your opening line be?
I don't know. Is opening line... There's a lot of pressure on an opening line.
Yeah. The moment, mate.
Is it?
Big moment.
Okay.
You're judged in the first 2 minutes. Do they like you? Are they going to hate you? You imagine that. So I went into your stage, brilliant, amazing comedian. She's wonderful. She's just wearing a jumper. If she's half as funny as her jumper, we're in for a cracking night. Yeah. Please welcome
to the
stage.
Is that how you'd introduce me?
No, I'd just be like, I don't know.
That'd be quite a good intro, actually.
Yeah, but then you'd have to wear that jumper at every gig.
I don't mind.
It'd be absolutely feral. You'd have to have about...
I'd wash it in between.
You'd have to buy about 15 of them.
No, I'd wash it in between.
Please welcome to the stage. She's responsible for me being here tonight. Quite literally, she gave me a lift. It's Gemma Bennett. Please welcome Gemma Bennett. Hi. Okay.
That's the crowd.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Go on, opening line.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it, is it?
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know what? Ironically, that might get a laugh. The fact you're laughing. It's never good to laugh at your own stuff, though, is it?
No.
It's almost like you're trying to show them where the laugh is.
I could shock them. I could go, good evening, you bastards.
Well, Nick Elm says good evening, you C-U-N-T's.
Does he?
Yeah, so that's not a bad... You've gone from a good comedic standpoint there.
Okay. Or
You couldn't do bastards in a gig where you're not allowed to swear.
And it's okay, let's keep it clean.
We just got to think of an opening line.
Or I could good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tolerating me.
Low status straight away.
Yeah, low status.
You would be quite low status.
Oh, all the way.
I think it's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's really difficult.
It's hard to find what the greatest opening
line is. Well, let's go for the other stance.
One of the greatest opening lines is...
Go on.
Gary Delaney's got a brilliant opening line.
Go on.
Last time I was here, a woman asked me for sex. I had to disappoint her. We had sex.
Ah, brilliant!
It's a nice opening line.
Lovely. Man.
5 seconds. He's funny.
He's in. Or we could swap it round, and I taught... an adult class last night, beginner French.
Yeah.
Maybe you could come and try and do some teaching adults French.
I've tried teaching.
Because last night I actually said to them, in comedic terms, this is what you call a callback. I did a I literally said that in my class.
You wanker.
And no, I did, because I'd introduced a grammatical rule early on.
That sounds hilarious.
And then I called back to it.
Just do that.
And I said... That's the callback.
Did you what? How did you call back? And then it's
it's funny that because if you remember the term we looked at just earlier on the whiteboard, that's this put into practice, and that's what we call a callback.
In the end, it ended up being the two form.
Yeah.
The two form.
Yeah, exactly.
Two form.
Yeah.
You idiot.
I know.
I don't know. It is.
It's like where you go and do somebody else's job for the day.
When I did, try to teach stand up at the very exclusive school.
Yes.
I won't name the school.
No.
But that was really weird because the kids were right. I said, write about what you know. Well, I couldn't get on board with any of their material.
No.
When I was holidaying in India at daddy's house.
Yeah.
I can't relate to any of this shit. And the nanny said to me...
The unrelatables, that's what they could be called.
Yeah. It's their world, but I was like... You know, what?
But they were all finding it hilarious, probably.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? It is difficult. It's really difficult. You don't want to be that... Don't go for shock value. I don't like to see that in new comedians when they try and just go for the most shocking thing they can say.
Yeah.
That's not an easy... That's the most common mistake.
Yeah.
I think
it's
because they want a reaction.
Yeah.
So they end up doing stuff that maybe is
not
well thought out.
So,
and so people like Jerry Sadowitz or Frankie Boyle take years to get to that, to be able to get laughs and likability and a show out of that sort of material. Mm. You can't just do it when you're doing Bobby Wingnut's Cackle Dungeon and you're two gigs in.
Yeah.
It's just
Well,
shit.
That's why in a way then it's braver when you write stuff that you have faith in, but you're willing to wait for the laughs. Do you think?
Oh, I've been waiting a while, mate. Sometimes
it's hard, isn't it?
I did a corporate gig last night, which was dead nice, actually.
Yeah.
But I sort of it was me and Justin Morehouse, and I've learnt now in those events to just not. It's all about how you look, not necessarily how the gig goes. Let me explain. If you're doing the stuff and it gets a laugh, even if it's a muted laugh, you've got to just be like, that's exactly how it should be at the moment. I am not panicking. I'm not flapping. I'm not going to speed up. I'm not going to change what I do. It's literally about looking like you're smashing it rather than smashing it.
Yeah.
And then eventually what happens is you'll find the last 6-7 minutes, the room comes alive.
Mm.
Weird.
Yeah.
Corporate gigs are unlike anything else, you know. And it's like I've said before.
That's because you're bringing together two situations that don't match up.
Exactly.
Work and a comedy club.
There's a clash of energy. How I say it is, when you do these events, mm-hmm. effectively, you are like the when you go out for a meal, yeah. have I told you this? And they bring out the bread.
Yeah.
And you didn't order it. You didn't expect it. Some people don't even want it. But it's here now.
So you
and
might
it's
as well
free.
Eat it.
So you're having it.
Yeah.
And I am bread.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh!
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
bread.
But it's like, it's almost like having a juggler at a funeral, isn't it? It just
no.
doesn't match.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I'll tell you what you could do, though. Mm. I saw this on the internet. You'd like this. I think you could just use your laugh.
Oh, you sent me this. This was weird.
Do you not find it weird that there was other people?
Well, I didn't know how much they were putting it on.
What do you mean?
Like faking it.
Well, they invited a load of people.
Yeah.
Vous êtes célibataire, c'est pas à cause de votre rire.
J'espère pas.
Non.
What are they saying?
Do you know what it sounds like?
Geese.
No.
Geese. It sounds like feeding the ducks at Attenborough Nature Reserve.
Do you know when in the original Charlie and Chocolate Factory, when they get on that boat and it's like doing all whistles and pipes? It sounds like that.
What's that bit, ladies? There's no way of stopping yeah. where this boat is going.
Yeah.
And they're returning. What's it?
Did she just say, are you single? Vous êtes célibataire?
Are you celibate?
Are you
with
single?
A laugh like that,
yeah.
you are. Is that
I'm
what
sure
it means?
That's what celibate? She just, yeah, célibataire, single. I'm sure she just said that.
That's Jesus. The worst.
That's the geese. No, but that is a proper unusual laugh. The other women are just cackling. It's just annoying. Weird. Jimmy Carr's in there.
It sounds like pigeons at the seafront.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you could do that.
God,
maybe.
Can you imagine that as a comedy audience, though? Frigging hell. You could hire them out, couldn't you?
No, you wouldn't want them. It's like
don't
doing a gig to seagulls.
Mind
mate.
You, yeah, you're right. If there is a laugh that's so unusual,
I've
it sticks
that.
Out, doesn't
I've
it?
I've had that. That's the interesting thing. I sometimes get a
oh. and then you find people laugh more at the laugh than your jokes.
And then people look at her.
Yeah. And they steal your thunder.
And you go, I've made myself cough now.
I know, I can see. You're struggling.
Then you'll go, well, I know now. Everyone's waiting for that.
Yeah.
So if a joke's not funny enough, I'll not get Miss Snort, will
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
I won't get that.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's interesting.
Actually, it's a problem. You just want regular laughter.
I've had it before where I've been like, someone's got gone. I had one woman who just went,
oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Or you get the repeaters where they go, it's no good.
What, they say a bit of the line?
Oh, they go, Joe Wonka, no, be. And it's like having a weird echo.
Oh, God.
And you sort of like go, oh, God, you can't do anything with that. Because they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
But you go, it's annoying now.
Yeah, you can't
and
criticize
then you get,
them.
The weirdest ones are the ones that sit angrily looking at you.
Right, but they're actually really enjoying
it. And then at the
it.
End they go,
yeah, but that's
what's
like...
that? That's a disconnection with your face.
Yeah, but that's like my TV face, isn't it?
Your TV face is
I frown.
Awful. Your TV face looks like you're in court waiting
and you'll
to
go,
be sent down.
Are you enjoying this? I'm going, yeah, it's brilliant. I love it. Frown again. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
This is a really wonderful film. It's making me feel fantastic. It's really,
yeah.
It's really, yeah. Set, yeah. Honestly, I've never felt as comfortable and as happy.
Yeah, and I just put that massive frown on.
Yeah.
Turn the frown upside down.
Well, so should we do it? Are you going to do it then?
No. No.
You should do it.
No.
I can give you 5 minutes.
In my
minutes.
Dreams, I'm really good, but not in reality.
I'll tell you what.
Can you imagine if I started being bigger
you what,
than you?
On my next tour.
To come you thought Scott Bennett was good. Check out his wife. She better.
What about?
She better.
Would you like to do 5 minutes?
No. It'd be hell.
It wouldn't.
It would be terrifying.
couple of shout outs here.
Yeah.
We've got some new patrons. I never get that right. Thank you to everyone that signed up. We've got Chris Mercer, who's pledged US dollars.
That's because he lives in America.
Because he lives in America. We've got someone who lives in America. Oh, is that enough for an American tour? One patron?
Yeah.
Just me and him? Yeah. Madison Square Gardens?
Yeah, let's do it.
You can do the support. We've also got Chris McCo. Chris MC.
You need to practice saying names.
Chris Mc. It's just Chris Mc.
Chris
Thank
Muck.
You.
Chris
and Muck. The other thing is someone wrote in to us, which is his handle on Twitter is Never Mind the Tories. So I think we can tell which way he votes, which is fine. It's a free country, isn't it? Of course. And, you know, at the moment, I don't think they're doing a great job. However, I am rambling. Never Mind the Tories said, absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious bit. On today's podcast about running out of things to give trick-or-treaters and resorting to other little snacks lying around the house. A little Iron Man disappearing with a box of raisins did me in. Yeah. Superb stuff. It was funny, that, wasn't it? Sometimes. It was dead funny, wasn't
There's
it?
There's nothing like a bit of self-congratulation.
Oh, thank you so much for everyone who's joined the Patreon and everyone who's written in. And a little bit of fact before we wrap up this. This is an interesting thing, Gemma. What do you think on a pair of jeans? I saw this the other night. I thought, I will ask Gemma, this is interesting. What is the little pocket for on a pair of jeans? The pocket within the
pocket. Oh, God, right, okay. Hang on.
It's always there. What is it about?
Just a minute. Is it for... I don't think it's going to be changed because it's too small. Hang on, don't tell me. Is it for...
It's got a very specific purpose. But it's been there.
It's not
forever.
For notes, is it?
No.
Is it for a key?
No. You can't fit a phone in there. You can't fit a
so
wallet in there.
It,
but it's there, isn't it?
It
the
is.
Tiny pocket. The little
one. Oh, I've got one.
A little borrower. Look how excited you are. A little borrower pocket.
It's only on one side.
Yeah. Do you know what it's for?
Oh, my God.
You're interested, aren't you?
Yes.
See, I knew you'd like this feature, you see.
I'm going
to rate this. No, I might leave you hanging now. The tiny pocket dates back to the 1800s. On the 20th of May, 1873, Levi Strauss patented improvement in fastening pocket openings. A few years later, in 1890, the tiny pockets were stitched into Levi's jeans. They had a common purpose: to carry a pocket watch.
Oh, my God.
Makes sense, doesn't
it? That's for a little pocket watch.
What time is it, Gemma? Go in your little pocket.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to put a pocket watch in there from
now? So have they kept it just as homage?
They've kept it. People use it on lighters, but then they got rid of it now. But it is, yeah, apparently.
I've got one here.
It's yeah, you've got a little pocket then. During the war, World War II, the two corner rivets in the little pocket were removed as to conserve metal to make ammunition.
Well, I never did.
Well, I never did. Some people use it to hold AirPods, hairpins and lighters.
I don't really use it
guitar
for anything.
Guitar picks. Who's wandering around popping the guitar picks
in
there?
It's a perfect size for a guitar pick.
Just in case you're encountering a guitar. Has anyone got a pick? Let me just tell my little pocket.
My pick pocket.
My little pick pocket.
Ah!
Oh, good, Gemma. So is there any other clothing items where you think, oh, that's an interesting thing. I don't know why that's there.
I don't think there are. That's a really
interesting
fact. I am so glad I know that. Let's high five it.
You were saying to me, don't say that. Now, that is a little coffee club fact you can tell your friends.
And one more. I just love your hands.
I don't. Stop doing the hands holding.
They're so soft.
Hands that do dishes.
You've not done a day's work in
your life,
have you?
As soft as your ass.
Yeah.
We have my hands hurt. Do you know when I saw you eat that croissant in your car? And it had all fallen down your chest and you just took a picture of your blabs.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of psoriasis.
Oh.
Flaky hands and flaky skin.
You've got horrible nails, though.
So it is like... Thank you.
Look at your stubby ends of your hands.
Yeah, well,
you bite your nails.
Chewing through
your
the fear of life. But I always think as well, it's like when you see your kids who've got those little pockets, you think, why are you putting pockets on kids' clothes? What are they carrying about?
Yeah.
Don't even drive.
No.
But yeah, so that's what your little pocket's for. So you're going to tell people that, aren't you?
I am. I really am.
You're very interested.
And I might have it as if it was my information.
You're going to pass.
I'm not going to say that you said it.
Do you know what it could be?
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the stage. Very funny lady. It's
oh, that could be my Gemma Bennett. Fact.
Now, guys, stand up. Stand up, everyone. Who's wearing jeans? Yeah? Are you wearing jeans? Give us a cheer if you're wearing jeans.
Yes! This is great. Can I have that? You can write for me.
What's the... See, you've got a little pocket there. You'd be like, yeah?
No, I've just thought Guess of my stand-up style.
Pickpocket.
My stand-up style could be just delivering facts. And there's no jokes, but people just find it hilarious that I don't actually tell joke.
There's people who've won the Edinburgh Comedy Award doing just that. here's another fact about myself that no one gives a shit about. Yeah. Oh, 4 stars.
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
Here's a fact about jeans.
Here's a fact. Five stars. And then you stood up and you went... Has everyone got that little pocket? And they go, yes!
Yeah.
And you go, you know what that's for? Pocket watch. Have a great night. Thank you for listening.
Now let's take a poll about what else we could use the little pocket for. Guitar picks! Brilliant! Anybody else?
Smuggling drugs through customs!
Not as good, but acceptable. Thank you. Anybody else?
A photo of my child I'm no longer able to see.
Brilliant! Yeah, well done. This would be a great gig, wouldn't it?
Passport for a borrower.
Well done. That doesn't exist, but thank you. Anybody else?
Your whole act.
You're just being rude now. That's offensive. A heckle, isn't
it? Imagine if someone just heckled you with, I'm wearing tracksuit bottoms, you shit.
What was that comedy that did take the piss out of comedians who just basically say, you know, like, don't you hate it when you do this? Or isn't it funny when this happens? And what, you know, that kind of style.
Oh no, it was George in Seinfeld. What's the deal with the sink?
Yeah.
What's the deal with? Because he said to Jerry, "I thought about a bit of material for you the other day." I said, "What's the deal with the big toe?"
Yeah, yeah.
All the other toes, you know, they're happy to be next to each other. Big toe needs its own space.
Yeah,
you could use that. Work that up. He was like, "That's not how stand-up works." Yeah, just work it up. Yeah. Do your thing. Do you? What's the deal with? Yeah, you do what's the deal with the toe?
You just do the what's the deal
what's
with.
What's the deal
with
the
Seinfeld?
Toe?
I love
so you could do what's the deal with the little pocket?
I can't do what's the deal with because that's Seinfeld.
What about the little pocket?
Oh no! What do you think of this?
That's your in. What do you think of this?
Hey, everyone. What do you think of this?
She's good. And then you finish and you go, what do you think of bananas being squashed in your bag?
Yeah.
Oh. Hey.
Good evening and welcome to my comedy.
What do you think of this?
Hey, everyone. What do you think of this?
Here's the jeans.
Fucking awesome. Do you know what? It would be funny to see it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think we should do it and film it. Gemma's first stand-up set.
I love it.
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Hey, everyone. What do you think of vegetables stuck in your sink?
Ooh.
Plug hole when you have to pick it out. Isn't it horrible?
It's not so much a joke.
Funny,
it's
though.
Like a thought, isn't it? Because there'd be a lot of people going...
Just let me use this. It's not so much a joke, is it? It's just a thought.
It's just sort of a thought.
I could just go up with thoughts.
Here's Gemma Bennett with more of her thoughts.
Yeah. The thing is, if I could bear to stand the silence, I could just deliver 10 minutes of that. Yeah. And if I did it with confidence and aplomb... I think I'd get away with it.
I've often thought about doing a set of just doing a round of applause for. So you just go up and just go, before we start, can we have a big round of applause for the NHS? And then just and then you go.
You just feel brilliant,
and then you just go, the troops, round of applause for the troops. Oh, we've got teachers. Come on, they do it brilliant.
Come on.
Round of applause for the teachers, just looking
at
your watch.
Oh, God, that could be my opener.
What?
Scott, thank you. High five.
I was joking.
But that's my...
But then you have to
I'm just writing this down.
Then you have to go all the way down to Ladies and gentlemen, a big round of applause for the dinner ladies. Big dinner lady. Oh, man. You know, it's 2020. The dinner people. Dinner people.
And a round of applause for you guys for being here tonight.
Well done for
they
being
love clapping themselves.
Clap yourselves. Yeah, clap yourselves. A round of applause for me. A round of applause for a little pocket on my jeans. Can we just have a round of applause for a round of applause? A round of applause for more applause.
But do you know just what?
10
you
minutes.
Tapped into
done.
Something there because.
At the end, it'd be like, you know I love
ask,
your round of applause.
You know, when you ask people to do a round of applause, they love it.
They do.
And they
it.
Get very excited and they do it well.
Yeah.
So actually, just ask. Just ask them to love you. Just ask them. Or I bet you if you went up there and went, right, I'm going to say something and I want you to do a load of fake laughter after it, okay?
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. What do you think to when you get loads of vegetable peels in your sink? It's horrible, isn't it? And they just laugh. And then what they would do is, because they were laughing at nonsense, I think it would make them laugh.
And then you just go, now clap.
Now clap.
Ask them. Can you?
Right, I'm going to do another one now.
Clap for
me. I want you to clap after it and cheer, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. What do you think to when you see a cat having a wee in the pile of leaves that you collected together on your garden? It's awful, isn't it?
Well done, everyone. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye. Now clap again.
Clap again as I go off.
Yeah. That's your act.
That's my act.
Done.
I think I could do that.
Next stop, the Apollo, mate.
Right, 5 minutes. I can do that. Put
easily.
Me in. Put me in, love.
Well,
so you've been listening
to a very still raining out there.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
It's felt like one of those rainy days you had as a kid where you stay in all day just playing on the computer.
Yeah, and it's not good. It's been, anyway.
But yeah, thank you for listening.
Thanks
I hope
for
you've
listening.
Enjoyed
I hope you've enjoyed
rambling
it.
Rambling pod of fun.
And I hope that you are safe and that you are warm. And that you have plenty of tea bags.
This has turned into a war appeal. No, I hope you are safe, warm, and got tea bags. What do you think? It's not wartime radio.
Yeah, I know.
I hope you're singing when you've got wind. I hope we're down in your bunker. Remember, we'll all meet again.
Sorry.
You couldn't get through 10 minutes without wind. You'd probably have to nip to the toilet. That's another 2 minutes.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone. Just go and leave the stage.
I do need a wee, actually.
Okay.
Right, so anyway, thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
We love chatting to you.
How do they get in touch with us, Gemma?
If you would like to send us a message, please do. And the message place to contact...
Jesus Christ. He's only done this 45 times. The message place to contact.
bwtbpod@gmail.com. Or you can find us on the Instagram or on the Twitter. If you want to contact us on DM, it's at bwtbpod. And you just drop us a line on there.
Drop us a line. We did all those wild laughs, Gemma. Can we recreate what your laugh is?
No.
It's like a...
I've got all sorts of laughs.
I think we should just bring back for this moment a little Auntie Joy laugh.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
So thank you for listening.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye. Cue the tune.